When you feel like your life is crumbling around you, you could actually be on the verge of your next big thing. If you'd rather get into a car accident than go to work because you hate your job, you actually could be on the verge of finding your dream career. If you padded with picking up the tab for your yet again unemployed boyfriend, you're actually on the verge of finding a fantastic relationship. Certified hypnotherapist and master life coach, Laura Richer, wants to show you how to use your breakdown for a breakthrough in creating a life you love. You're listening to Laura's hit new show, On the Verge Radio.
Welcome to On the Verge Radio. We are broadcasting here on Transformation Talk Radio. And as always, I am thrilled to introduce our host, Laura Richer.
Hi, Andy.
I am your co-host, Andy Lucas, and today we are continuing our series on dating.
Yes.
Actress Rashida Jones, who was on Parks and Recreation, is the daughter of Quincy Jones, says dating has become a sport and not about finding the person you love. And I think that she could be right there, Laura. Do you have any thoughts on the struggles that women are having with dating?
So I don't think it's a sport for everybody. I think there are people who are legitimately looking for love out there, but there are some people who are dating for sport, I guess we'll say. So We want to learn how to sort through those people, because sometimes if you don't and you're looking for a relationship, it's going to make dating kind of tough and maybe even depressing and overwhelming.
Absolutely.
So that's what we're going to be talking about today.
So what are your thoughts with women who are struggling with dating right now?
So I have a lot of clients who come to me and say, I've been dating for a while, but I hate online dating. It's a bunch of creeps. I'm having terrible experiences. So I have two thoughts about that. One, it's time to take a break. They are not in the right place for dating. Maybe they have to process a past relationship, let go of some old beliefs they have. And it's just some time to work on themselves. Or maybe they need to change their strategy.
Yes.
So today we have a very exciting guest. Peggy Bennett is here with us. Hi, Peggy.
Hi. Yay.
And Peggy is the founder of Straight to the Heart Matchmaking, an exclusive matchmaking agency based in Seattle. Peggy is a certified matchmaker from the Matchmaking Institute of New York, which is the only school in the world authorized to issue a state license certification for matchmaking. That's very cool. So welcome, Peggy. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for being here. Gosh, I mean, I'm really excited to be here. Thank you very much.
Yay.
Well, should we just get to it? We have lots of questions for Peggy today.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So first of all, you know, I don't know a lot of matchmakers. Do you, Andy?
I do not.
Okay. So how does one get involved in matchmaking?
How did you get into it?
So I feel like it was kind of my destiny. I remember at age 13, I had my first boyfriend and my first traumatic breakup.
Oh,
it was
the first breakup.
Pretty. It was not pretty. And how I just coped with it, you'll laugh, but I saved up money and bought my book, bought a book, Leo Buscaglia, entitled Love. Do you know it?
Yes.
I don't know.
So at age 13, I did that, if you can believe it. And that's because I was just so overwhelmed with all the emotions of being in love, and I just didn't know how to deal with it. So flash forward in my 20s and 30s, I was just kind of that go-to girl where people would always ask me questions, dating questions, relationship questions, for whatever reason, and I just loved it. And as a hobby, I would set up singles.
Oh, cool.
And they did result in marriages.
My God.
So I had a successful career at Nordstrom for 20 years on and off again. And meanwhile, I was listening to these singles, just really frustrated, not being able to find quality singles. And they also would say, gosh, dating online, it feels like a part-time job.
Uh-huh.
So I just felt like, even though I loved being at Nordstrom, I just felt like there was something else that yearned for me to be an entrepreneur. So I just took a leap of faith and opened up my own company.
Very
that
cool.
That is so exciting.
Yeah.
What do you say to those, because people are coming to you as an alternative to online dating, and why would someone choose matchmaking over online dating? Or do they do it in concert?
It just depends on the person. There is definitely a need for online dating. I think there's it's great for people that haven't had a lot of experience with dating.
Yeah.
So, for instance, a younger person who hasn't dated a lot, I think that's a great place. Or someone newly divorced and they're just getting back into it.
Yes.
So I think that is also. So it gives them a little practice, to be honest with you. One thing with matchmaking that is great is it definitely weeds out the people who are really serious and really committed on finding a long-term relationship or marriage. So that's the huge, big point of difference right there.
Right. So when somebody comes to you, they're serious about finding love.
Definitely. And I attract all ages. And there's just kind of that myth out there that matchmaking is for the socially awkward. And that's actually not that true. It's actually a luxury service.
Yes.
Just like you would hire a personal trainer or an investment manager, you would hire a matchmaker.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. You or a wedding planner. Like they kind of take care. They do the kind of the work.
Leave it up to the experts to do it. Yes. It saves you a lot of time and money and heartache.
Yes.
Those emotional ups and downs
in
the long run. I try to make it really easy for them.
So I would imagine by when a client comes to you, maybe they've already tried online dating most of the time. Is that usually the case or?
Really good question. Some either they come to me and they are completely burnt out from online dating or they don't even want to touch it.
They're too afraid just to even dip their toe in.
They're like, sorry, I don't even want to go there. I've heard too many stories.
Well, there's like, how many apps are there now? And it's right
there's
at our
like
fingertips.
10, I
and
think.
This never
or
happened
more.
Like
oh, there's much
5 years
more.
Ago.
Yes.
It's crazy. And it's, I think there's this feeling that, somebody better is just a swipe away. So it can feel really overwhelming doing that.
And you know what? I think that online, a lot of people meet online dating. And I, like you said, it's great to just kind of get out there. Or for some people, it can be really successful. We had one of our social media followers had mentioned that she was excited to listen to the show because she met her husband on OkCupid. So it can be successful, but I do have a lot of clients in my practice who are like you said, I don't even want to try it. I've heard too many horror stories. I'm too afraid.
So
that's why we wanted to have you come in today to present another alternative.
Yes.
So so how do you go about matching someone? I mean, when somebody comes into you and says, I'm looking for somebody, what's that process look like?
Well, they definitely, one thing I do where online is, let's talk about age real quick. Mm-hmm. So online, you actually have to have an actual range and it's black and white range, right? With matchmaking, age is just a number because I actually am sitting down with these people one-on-one. And as we know, everybody ages differently, right?
Yes.
Yep.
So that's kind of the beauty of that. But I do look at similar lifestyles. For instance, if I get an empty nester, it's common, obviously, to match him with another empty nester.
Yeah.
I look at common core values and even personalities, whether they're introverts, extroverts, and things that you can't necessarily pick up, obviously, online.
Yes.
Yeah, there's not
in
those
your little
boxes.
Tinder blurb.
Yeah, there's not those boxes check. Am I an empty nester? Am I this? Those aren't options.
Right.
So you sit down and talk with them and get to know them like on a one-to-one basis. Do they also fill out like some kind of personality questionnaire?
When I talk to them one-on-one, it's called a discovery interview, and it's a discovery session, and I'm really sensitive. I'm somewhat of an energy reader in a way, so I sit down with them, and the most important thing is I'm reading them while they're in my chair.
Ooh.
And, no pressure. So the females actually fill out an extensive profile at home when they're in their jammies, all relaxed, and it's extensive. But when they're in the chair with me for an hour, it's me getting to know them, but just kind of asking some key questions. But mainly, I'm actually reading their energy.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do you see?
It's just I'm taking notes, but it's just the because I actually work for The Bachelor. So I'm taking in just kind of their personality and reading in between the lines, because everybody can fill out a questionnaire, right?
Yes.
But it's taking the time to actually sit down and being with that person and just soaking it up. It's hard to explain because I'm an intuitive.
Right.
So
okay.
It's just in my DNA. It's just how I'm wired.
So is Laura.
That makes sense
absolutely.
To me.
Does that make sense?
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
It makes sense to other intuitives.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's why we're in our business.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Are you a Pisces, Peggy?
I am not. I'm a Gemini.
Okay. All right.
Just like Patty Stanger from Matchmaker Millionaire. She's a Gemini also.
I'm a Gemini rising.
So there you go.
Yes.
We've got.
I have to back up for a second. You're on the you work with The Bachelor. We didn't even know this about you.
No, I work for Bachelors.
Bachelors. Okay, I was both thinking of us the show. Like,
what? So my client, it's called traditional matchmaking. It's the most common throughout the nation. So my client actually is a bachelor.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, nice. And so you're, okay, fantastic. And then what is the next step? So you talk with them. What are you looking for? What are some of the characteristics other than the things that you mentioned, like if they're an empty nester and stuff, what are some of the characteristics that you look for that you know someone's ready for dating or would be a good match?
Yes.
That's a long question.
No, that's okay. I am very passionate about if someone is ready or not.
Yes.
I wasn't in my 20s. Mm. So I'm very passionate about that. And I can tell more or less when I'm just chatting with someone if they aren't ready.
Yeah.
Because we've all gone through that heartbreak, right? Mm-hmm. And if they just aren't healed, because it will come out because they get overly emotional or they're still bitter or angry, it will come out. It's very, it's those buttons that end up getting pushed just by asking questions about their past.
Yeah.
And that's when I can tell that they're not quite ready for dating for matchmaking purposes, because with matchmaking, it's not someone who's dating just to date. It's dating for someone to find someone.
Yes.
For a commitment. So I take it really seriously, and I'm really blunt with people, and I just let them know. I just feel like maybe right now it's not the ideal time.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's to their benefit.
Yes.
And it doesn't always happen, but it does happen, and I think they realize it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Tinder doesn't screen for that kind of thing.
No. And we've talked a lot about on our show about what happens when you date when you're not ready. There's all kinds of things that can go on. So when you're serious, I love it that you do that you make sure that there are people who are serious and ready to be matched.
Yeah.
And if you're not ready to be matched and you still have stuff to work on, you should call me.
Yeah, exactly. That's
definitely. Yeah, and definitely. I love that.
Yeah, we'll be talking more about that in the next half hour, like what to do with that. So what is your typical client? Is there an age range that you work with, or
professionals who are, from 27 on up, professionals who are, they have everything going on in their life, really successful people. And I don't mean necessarily monetarily, but just successful. They have balanced lives. They're happy. They some are single parents, but they just have just that inner peace and happiness. But they are just missing that someone to love.
Yeah.
But they truly are independently, financially and emotionally independent, successful people.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm really blessed on the people that I attract.
Well, like you said,
they're authentic. They're authentic, real people that just don't have the time and are looking for that special someone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So after you meet with them, what happens after that?
So after as far as the females, they go into my Straight to the Heart database, and they just pay a small fee to get into the database because they may or may not be match for the particular bachelors.
Okay.
And with the bachelors, I offer unlimited matches throughout the year. It's an annual membership.
Nice. How many dates will they go on?
It just really varies. I pride myself in doing kind of a case-by-case situation. So some men need a little more coaching in between dates because there is feedback following each date.
Ooh.
Yes.
And do you notice any common themes there with men that maybe some of the same issues that come up when you're working with clients?
That's a great question. It's kind of all across the board. It's something as trivial as, oh my gosh, he wore way too much cologne.
Okay.
To more in-depth things that are like, gosh, he was so serious. I felt like I was his therapist.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And did they?
So it's all across the board. It just depends.
Do they email you the feedback?
They email or call me with feedback.
I think that's fantastic. And then you do some coaching to help the bachelors become better daters.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they're receptive.
They are, because at the end of the day, their happiness is my entire goal. Right. And so, and you never, you just, what's so fascinating is you never know how you come across on a date. I'm single, and I mean, I sometimes think, oh my gosh, just out of nerves, I say things, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, why did I just say that? So we're not perfect. You know,
right.
There's always a lot of room for improvement.
Yeah. Does the bachelor give feedback to the gals, for the gals?
Yes, yes.
And do you provide that to them?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Very interesting.
That would be interesting, yeah, to learn how I would come across.
So I also call it I termed it the stress-free goodbye. So at the end of the date, I suggest just an hour and a half brief date, cocktails, mm-hmm, appetizers. At the end of the date, they just simply say goodbye, and so there's no exchange of phone numbers. So there's no stress there. Oh, does he like me? Does she? You know,
yeah.
There's no guessing.
Have
games
some set
or
boundaries,
anything.
Is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I like
well,
that.
What a novel idea, Ben.
Right. Brilliant, right? Got to fight the urge to stay or leave early.
It's
true.
It's all about balance.
Yes.
So then the next day, they both provide me feedback.
Wow.
So it really, their whole goal is just to put their best foot forward and just bring out their best selves. And I even coordinate each date. So they have to do is show up being their best selves. And I do all the
fantastic.
Rest.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow. This is a luxury service.
Yes. It is a luxury service.
So what is the success rate? I mean, just roughly, do you have any idea?
Well, I have had three couples that are now married, three couples that are living together,
nice,
and five couples who are exclusive.
Very nice.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's really cool. When did you start your business?
3.5 years ago.
Oh, my gosh. That's fantastic.
Yes.
Wow. How many, the couples who are married, how many date, this is way too much detail probably, but how many dates did they end up going on before you paired the right match?
To be honest with you, they were all, it's interesting. I've never thought of that before, but they were all really early on.
Mm. You're really good.
No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. It just that,
so
no.
Humble.
I just got lucky. I think it's all across the board. But in those circumstances, now that I think about it, it was early on, within the first 1 to 3.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's
I never
fantastic.
Thought of that before.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it goes back to kind of what we were saying. They have to be ready. And so to know,
yes,
if you're both looking for a relationship, then you're both open to that.
They always say timing is everything, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's
a lot to be said about that.
So since I work a lot with clients who are struggling dating, do you have any patterns that you see of maybe men or women that show up that would kind of indicate that they might not be successful or that they might not be one of those people that hits it off in the first few dates?
I think it comes back to that relationship readiness that I was talking about. And you really need to feel, and even if you have to fake it, do it, to feel confident.
Mm-hmm.
That confidence.
Yes.
I think it's a turn on for both sexes, to be honest with you. Don't you?
I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
And lacking confidence kind of kills all of it. We talked about that a little in our last show. I usually see it more with women, but I'm sure men can do it too. We're like, I've been wounded before. I can't take another heartbreak. Like, please love me. Like, that
is
an attractive.
yeah.
But a lot of my clients.
It's down to even the body language.
Yeah.
Body language is huge when you're on a date.
Yes,
and
I can see that.
And it's what is clever to think about. It's just a little takeaway tip is to mirror the body language.
Okay.
Of the other person.
Oh.
That, yeah.
Uh-huh. So if they have an elbow up, oh, hello. That's probably better for on video, but yes.
Okay. Wait. Not for the whole time. Maybe just a little bit?
No, just
because then it's like, okay, it's a game or something.
No, you do it.
Yeah, that's what I'm feeling. You touched his ear. Do I have something on my nose? You did the same thing.
You do it in a subtle way.
Okay.
You do it in a subtle way. Right. But just how you position, how you angle yourself, good question.
Yeah.
How you
angle so you're not mimicking them.
Okay. But
literally, like, mirror. Oh, I know this game. But that might be a silly fun side to the
game. It could be. You never know.
Okay, right. There you go.
Interesting dates that Benny's been on.
What?
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Check them out sometime. I don't know.
Well, another thing, Peggy, that you said that I think is really important, and I see sometimes people get tripped up in dating when I'm working with my clients, is that they don't look for similar values. They're looking for things maybe outside of, well, they're looking for looks or financial status, and they're not looking, or even common interests sometimes don't necessarily indicate a good match. Do you find that to be true?
I love that you said that about common interests, because there's algorithms out there that just solely base on common interests.
Okay.
And that's a pet peeve of mine, to be honest with you.
And why is that?
Well, I just have to say my parents, before my dad passed away, were married 50 years, and he would have his own interests. She would have her own interest. And then together they would sail together, for instance. But I think it's just healthy. You don't necessarily have to have everything in common.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. But as far as values go, what do you look for matching people up with? Because that, I think, is the most important thing, is having the same values.
It is, definitely. And that is part of my interview questions. I kind of go in depth. I created interview questions. I pulled some from online, but I also pulled some after my marriage that I had after 20 years of marriage and divorced. If I was going to marry again, what questions would I ask?
Ooh,
So I created questions on that. And they are really in depth. I've had some females say, my gosh, Peggy, it's a long questionnaire. And I said, well, just know that I ask the same questions to the bachelors.
Yeah.
So it's anything with how you were raised, to what's your relationship with your mother, which is a great question
to
ask men.
Yeah.
And what type of things are your core values? So I go into a lot of depth with those questions.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Can you help our audience with texting etiquette?
Oh, yes. This is very important.
Like, when to text, how often to text, how many emojis to not use. any advice you have there?
Sure. First off, with dating, I want to just stress about the momentum with dating. The first to three dates, it's crucial to get the momentum continued. So especially the first to the second date, people are busy. So it's not like you're going to have one date and then the second date the next day.
Right.
So there could be even a week betweenhand.
Right.
So that momentum is when texting is really a good thing. Sprinkled in with maybe a live phone call conversation. I know
what?
That's,
oh my God.
I know that's a foreign thing.
Of.
But when the momentum, if it continues, it can be successful, but it can die off really quick. But that's when it's just important to have just light, fun, playful, casual texting in between the first and second date. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that I just have to say that is crucial for people, because they're so busy and it just keeps the momentum going.
What is an idea of light and casual? Because when I was on the dating scene, I would text questions like, well, what kind of music do you listen to and all this? And somebody finally was like, is this an interview? So I don't know how to keep it light and casual, I guess.
Well,
you're just diving right in there. What's your deepest, darkest secret?
Question number 38,
by the way. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, I guess I can think of one that a gentleman just sent me the other night that was great. Is it was a sunny, you know, we had one of those rare sunny days in Seattle.
Yeah.
And he was on his deck and he just shot a great picture of the sunset and said, hope your day is going well. And just thinking of you. And listen to both of you.
I know. Right?
That's what I was going to say, too. I let it fill the room for a minute.
I know.
Aww.
So I know.
That's
exactly.
Really cute.
Exactly.
Is he going to get a second date?
That's a yes.
I shouldn't put you in Casey's listening.
We won't. Yeah. That's a yes.
I would like it. It's up to him to see if he would like a second date with me, actually. But anyway, nice. So I was really impressed with that.
Did you respond with your own photo? I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, please. Yeah.
Did you respond with a photo of where you were?
I didn't, darn it. I didn't have a good one. I know.
You could be like, I'm in the similar area, looking across the lake or something.
Yeah.
Looking back.
But
at
I
you.
Said I loved your view, and the view
That's good.
The view had a glass also of a full glass of beer. And he goes, What view do you like? The beer or the sunset? I said, well, actually a little of both.
Yeah.
Good answers. Back and forth.
So we're doing back and forth and playful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Men like the whole playful thing.
A little bit of the chase, a little bit of the tease.
Right. See, so
I love
it. You a little?
Yes.
So here's another thing: is don't text someone twice if they haven't. If you text them once, they haven't responded. You text them twice, they haven't responded. Do not text them again.
Okay.
So no on number three.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Okay.
Okay. And how long?
And I say that. Sorry, I have to interrupt really quick. I say that because I've been that anxious dater, and a lot of women and men are like that, where it's actually because they're anxious.
Yes,
it. You can relate to that.
Yes. I was single for 5 years and dating. I dated anxious people, and I was the anxious dater too. So I played out all sides of it. But I do know that receiving multiple texts from someone feels like you're being kind of harassed. It's all of a sudden kind of overwhelming.
Yeah.
So I would not, if I was dating again, would definitely not want to overtext.
No. Well, I can't believe this, but we're almost out of time.
Oh, it went so fast.
We're going to take a break. But Peggy, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank
this
you
has
very
been
much.
So fantastic talking to you. How can our listeners reach out to you if they're interested in learning more about matchmaking or using your services?
Sure. Thank you so much. I'm found at straighttotheheart.net is my website where you can find all the information. And plus, I just debuted my podcast entitled Real Souls with Peggy Bennett.
Very nice.
Cool.
And Laura might be a guest on there someday.
I hope so. I would love to.
Definitely.
Yes.
You will be a guest.
All right.
So
fantastic.
straighttotheheart.net with Peggy Bennett. Thank you so much, Peggy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Peggy,
great.
For coming in.
We're going to take a quick break. And for those of you who think that you might need to take a break from dating and need some quick advice, stay tuned. Laura is going to be offering advice in our next half hour for those people who need to put the brakes on. So stay tuned for more on The Verge Radio here on Transformation Talk Radio.
They have to make a match for you before they can make one for me.
And then after her, one for me.
So if Yenta brings you a husband...
Oh, Yenta!
Well, somebody has to arrange the matches. Young people can't decide these things for themselves.
She might bring someone wonderful.
Someone interesting.
And well off.
And important. Matchmaker, make me a match. Find me a find, catch me a catch. Matchmaker, look through your book.
Ignite your inner magic on Grow Your Soul Radio with Jane Matanga. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Jane Matanga explores how to overcome your fears to help you gain the inspiration you need to awaken your path to joy. Learn the way to life mastery and the enlightened path with Grow Your Soul Radio. For more information on Jane Matanga and her work, visit enlightened-path.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life. Each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Tune in to the hit show Raging Skillet Radio, mouthing off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
Do you know how powerful your thoughts and beliefs are in determining your experience of your life? Is it really true that simply by changing some of the words you use in your day-to-day language, that you can change your life? I'm Megan Edge. Join me on Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to On the Verge Radio. I am your host, Laura Richer, and I'm also the owner of Seattle Healing Hypnotherapy, Reiki, and Life Coaching. And I am here with my co-host, Andy Lucas. Hi, Andy. Andy is the owner of Hummingbird Marketing Services. And today we are broadcasting on Transformation Talk Radio. And today we're talking about alternatives to online dating, which can be a struggle for a lot of people.
It can be. And as we just had a fantastic guest, by the way, Peggy Bennett from Straight to the Heart Matchmaking, and she offers a fantastic alternative to those people who are struggling with online dating or afraid of it or have had it.
Or don't have time to figure it out and just want somebody to do the work for them.
Yes. So, I really loved that.
Yes.
Yeah. So thanks again, Peggy, for joining us. Laura, you mentioned at the beginning of the show that changing your strategy in dating is one option, and that's where a matchmaking service can come in super handy. But another option is maybe putting the brakes on dating and really looking at yourself. Mm-hmm. Why would someone choose to do this?
Well, like Peggy mentioned when she screens her clients, sometimes people just aren't ready, whether they are still hurt or angry from a past relationship they haven't completely resolved. Maybe there's just some other things going on in their life that it's just not the right time for them. And sometimes we don't always know that. Sometimes we think, yes, a relationship would be exactly what I need to make me happy right now. But when we look at it a little deeper, it might not be the right time.
Okay. So I know that through your coaching practice, you've been able to identify some common patterns that you've seen that kind of showcase to someone it's time to stop and work on yourself.
Yes.
And I want to talk about those. But before we do, I want you to remind everyone how they can get in touch with you if they want to. If they think it's time for them to take a break from dating and need to work on themselves, this is what you specialize in.
Exactly. So you can find us at ontheverge.radio.com and you can listen to any of our past shows. We have lots of good dating advice on our past shows and things that you can do when you're not ready for dating. You can also just give us a call at 206-765-8265. And I do offer a complimentary 30-minute consultation for all new clients to see how my services might be able to support you and give you some great resources. So it doesn't hurt to call.
Yeah. And say it's 206-765-8265.
I need a little jingle.
Yeah, I know. 800-5. Okay. Let's talk about these patterns.
Okay.
And I, when we were talking about them before in prep for the show, I have to say that I think I've lived and been in all of these patterns at one point in my life. So it was, and they
I
all
think
kind
anyone
of,
who has dated has. I mean, this isn't a judgment. Any of us who have been single and gone through dating, you know, maybe if you met your person in high school and you guys lived happily ever after, that is fantastic.
That's awesome.
You may not have had some of these experiences, but I think anyone who's dated, especially in your adult life, has stumbled across some of these things. So no judgment. We just want to identify them and maybe avoid them when we can.
Yes. So, Laura, number one is getting lost in a fantasy.
Yes. So this is the root of this is kind of a desperate feeling usually that I am wanting to be in a relationship so bad, or I want to be married, or I want to have kids, or whatever it is, that I kind of gloss over who I'm dating and just project onto them what I want the relationship to be. So after the first date, I have already imagined us moving in together, buying a puppy, the wedding, driving off in the minivan.
The wedding was in Cabo, I'm assuming.
Yeah, of course it was in Cabo. So, you know, that I think just that is a dangerous place, because then you're not recognizing who you're connecting with. You're just so goal oriented, and you want to get to a certain place. You're not noticing who you're connecting with.
Yes. And that can almost be a little scary, too, because imagine if then you do go down this road with this person and then you find out, oh, wait, I don't even like them.
Right. And I've worked with a lot of clients who have said, you know, I just really heard my biological clock ticking. I had to get somebody, or I had to be married before I turned 30, or, you know.
Yes.
So, and I think that's very common. I've had that experience myself. So, again, it's not to be judgmental, but slow down. You want to end up with somebody who is a right fit for you, not just paste them into this fantasy that you have.
Yeah. And like you said, someone who has the same values.
Yes.
It's so important. You've heard of the cartoon Dilbert,
yes.
I assume.
Yep.
So Scott Adams is the creator, and he says, nothing defines humans better than their willingness to do irrational things in the pursuit of phenomenally unlikely payoffs. This is the principle behind lotteries, religion, and dating.
Yes, if you are unrealistic, yeah, that
it's going to happen.
Yes, exactly.
Do you have? Can you share any examples of clients who you've worked with who kind of got lost in this fantasy and what happened?
So one couple comes to mind that I was working with where they were really focused on planning their wedding, but they were in a very dysfunctional, toxic relationship, and one of the partners had just a lot of anger issues, and there was just a lot of things that were not right. But they had decided, you know, that they wanted to paint this picture of creating this life together. And so they were kind of trying to bypass working through some of the issues that were showing up. And in the end, they really weren't a very compatible match, and they ended up splitting up, which, you know, is sad. But at the same time, it's great they didn't move forward and have to go through all of the paperwork of a divorce and all those things. So, but I think that they were both really focused on the outcome instead of what was actually happening in the relationship.
Yeah. And so you did some coaching with them to kind of help them through that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Laura, the second kind of pattern that you've identified that says it's time to take a break is choosing unavailable men.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by unavailable?
So they could be...
they don't answer the phone?
Well, maybe. That could be part of it. they're unavailable for a relationship for whatever reason. So they could be just emotionally unavailable, not looking to have a serious relationship. Mm-hmm. They could be actually unavailable. Maybe they're workaholics, or they have kids, or some for whatever reason they're physically unavailable to you. But for whatever reason, they're not available to be in a relationship.
So why does someone choose that?
So nobody, I don't think anyone intentionally chooses that. I don't think anyone thinks, I'm going to find a guy who doesn't pay attention to me and then really try to land him. But women and men definitely get caught up in these patterns. And there's a lot of different reasons. What I have observed mostly is either, one, the person is not emotionally available themselves. So while they might think they want to be in a relationship, for whatever reason, they're not quite there yet. So when somebody shows up and wants to date them and is really excited about them. In fact, I hear that a lot. Oh, I only like guys who aren't interested in me.
Oh.
Well, that's probably because there's some stuff going on with you.
Okay.
So when somebody shows up who's really available, they're actually turned off by it. And they think that they're turned off by that person. But I think often it's just that they're turned off because they're really not ready to be in a relationship. So that's probably what I see the most often with people.
And you know what? You have said before that every relationship that we have is a mirror to the relationship that we have with ourselves.
Yes.
What I am, how I feel is what I'm going to attract.
Yes.
What I'm projecting to people. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's going to come back to me.
Yes.
Okay.
So if you find yourself really attracted to unavailable people, it might be good to reflect and think about, you know, is there a part of you that really isn't available? Is it really about working on yourself right now?
Yeah. You know, I manage your Google AdWords, and so yes. I can occasionally see what people are searching for to get to your site.
Yes.
And I did find one, and as funny as it is kind of sad. Mm-hmm. The search term, the phrase was, "Can I be hypnotized to lower my standards?"
Right. So I don't believe.
What is
so.
Your thought? Would you hypnotize someone?
No,
to lower their
I wouldn't
standards?
Do that. I don't know if I can even. I think that whatever goes against your internal compass is not hypnosis is not going to override that. So I'm not rearranging your brain or anything like that. But aside from that, even if I could, I don't want to do that. That's not going to lead to a happy, fulfilling, connected relationship. So what I really want to know is, why is that something that you're seeking? What is it that you believe is not right about your standards? Or what are your standards? Are they really superficial and they're not yielding the results that you're looking for? Again, that person really needs to work on themselves a little bit. Without knowing that person or who they are.
Right.
We do not want to hypnotize ourselves to lower our standards. That's not going to help us find happiness.
We want to get hypnosis to find out why we are blocking ourselves and why we're choosing unavailable people and get to the root of the issues.
Yes, yeah. Okay. And so that's a perfect example is that person is probably choosing unavailable people and feels like they can't have who they want, but there's a little more to it and we'd want to get to the bottom of that first.
Okay. I love that.
So the next thing, which is similar, I think some people, you know, like unavailable people because they haven't healed from their wounds, mm-hmm. From maybe past relationships. Maybe they're afraid of being hurt again. So they're afraid of being in a really intimate relationship. And so, again, that's some good time to
stop.
Call Seattle Healing, work on yourself a little bit, cultivate some self-love, release some old baggage from old relationships.
Yeah.
And another one that's very common is that we're attracted to familiar patterns. So as human beings, we like things that are familiar to us, even if they're negative. It's just an unconscious attraction. We are comfortable with what we know. So a lot of times people who've had a parent who was unavailable to them, we've all heard of having like daddy issues, mommy issues, that those people will automatically be attracted to people that are unavailable because that was their experience with their parent. And so, like, attachment theory is a theory in psychology. It talks about how we have this unconscious desire to heal the relationship we had with our parents through our romantic partners.
Ah, yikes. But not enough. I mean, it's, like you said, it's completely unconscious.
Yeah, nobody is going, I mean, not that I'm aware of, is going out into the world saying, you know, I just want to find somebody who's just like my dad who I hate. I mean, that's not what we're consciously looking for.
Right.
But not my dad. I love my dad.
Yes.
But that does happen. So, but you know what? That is something that you can change. You know, just being able to forgive that parent, work through some issues. Maybe you need to forgive that parent. Maybe you need to let go of whatever the beliefs are that you created about yourself through that experience. And just being able to identify that you're locked in a pattern, you can change it. So you're not destined to suffer for the rest of your life. It's just creating a little awareness and changing the pattern.
Yes. So Laura, number three, this kind of third pattern is, and we talked about this a lot on our last episode, is mistaking instant emotional intensity and physical attraction for a soulmate connection.
Yes.
AKA chemistry.
Chemistry. And so all of this sounds really good, right? Instant emotional intensity, lots of chemistry, great physical attraction. And that isn't necessarily bad, but this is when it becomes bad. And I do have a lot of clients that I've worked with in the past who have said, well, I don't know what happened. I mean, it was so hot and heavy and then this guy just ghosted and I don't know where he went. Or girl. So what happens in some of these situations is that emotional intensity is causing people to let their guard down too much and not having good boundaries, letting people in too soon before they get to know them.
Mm-hmm.
And that can lead to being really disappointed because you are so excited about this situation. And then when it doesn't work out and maybe you've gone further into it than you would have wanted to had you known it wasn't going to turn into something serious.
Yeah.
You feel really disappointed. So in that case, I think when people have that experience and they're in the pattern of a high intensity and then it burning out really quick or somebody leaving or ghosting, that might be time to really work on your boundaries and find out, why are you so anxious for things to move forward so quickly?
Yes.
Instead of just allowing the relationship to kind of unfold naturally, getting to know somebody and seeing who they are before you let them in too much.
Yes.
And that's not about being paranoid and guarded, but that's just having healthy boundaries.
Yeah. I have a good friend who, this was years ago, but she was doing a lot of dating, and she was using Craigslist, so you know this was a really long time ago. But she would automatically sleep with the guy on the first date. And there is nothing wrong with if that's what you want to do and that's what you're looking for, a hookup, that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. But she really wanted a relationship, and she'd call me just devastated that she never heard from the guy again. And I said, why are you doing this? And she's like, well, I'm in my 30s. I'm not going to deprive myself of a good time. Mm-hmm. And I said, but by depriving yourself of a good time tonight, or not depriving yourself, you're depriving yourself of any relationship that could come of it.
Yes. And not, I'm sure lots of relationships people have hooked up on their first date. Yes. And they got married happily ever after. So I don't think that necessarily means that the relationship isn't going to work. But you are taking a bigger risk because you don't know this person yet.
Yes.
So it could work out, but it may not. And are you going to be deeply disappointed when it doesn't? And is it going to feel like a really painful experience? If that's not true, if you know, or you're fine either way and you want to have a good time, great.
Yes.
Do that. But if you feel that you feel hurt and used and abandoned over and over again, and that's the dynamic that you're creating, you know, maybe you want to choose a different behavior pattern.
Yes. And ask yourself why you're, like you said, mm-hmm. why do I want to rush this and move so fast?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Henry Cloud, who's the author of How to Get a Date Worth Keeping, says, mm-hmm. dating is about finding out who you are and who others are. And if you show up in a masquerade outfit, neither's going to happen.
Yes. So pretending that you're someone different than you are.
Yeah. And pretending that it's okay, I just want to do what it, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you're not, and men and women both do this, but I work mostly with women, so I'm usually referring to women. They want to be the cool chick. They want to be like, yeah, it's breezy. Nothing bothers me. Sure, invite your guy friends over. Let's watch the game. Well, if that's not who you really are, that's not really how you feel, that's going to come out eventually. And
yes.
So now you've attracted a certain type of person to you who thinks that you're, you know, cool watching football every Sunday when really you hate it.
Exactly. Yeah. So just be yourself.
Yes. So good advice from Henry Cloud.
Yes. Another pattern you've noticed is wanting to heal someone or bond through pain and brokenness and brokenheartedness.
Yes. So I think I've mentioned before that I am completing my master's degree in clinical mental health counseling, focusing on addiction and substance abuse.
Yes.
And I think that this shows up. You see this a lot in relationships where people are connecting through addiction or through addiction and codependence or some other type of woundedness or pain, that they don't really know each other. They're just bonding through the experience of whatever this negativity is.
Yes.
And so they line up as a match because they're both in a wounded place.
Yes.
Or an addicted place. Like the show Intervention, which I've just been obsessed with watching.
So good.
It was and really good like work I thought that they did on that show and getting people into recovery. But the relationships that were bonded through addiction, that, you know, those fall apart eventually.
Yeah.
So not that you can't connect with anyone when you're in a wounded place or that you can't connect with other wounded people, but it's probably not going to be
the foundation for like a brilliant relationship.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, the other thing is some people just like to help other people. And as I've mentioned before, they should get a career in the healing arts. That
yes.
Your romantic relationship is not a place to heal and fix other people.
Right. As you've mentioned, if you like a fixer-upper, you might need to work on you.
Yes.
You
so then
the
you
fixer.
Could be a fixer-upper and you should turn that attention on yourself.
Flip yourself.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And again, that is not in a judgmental space at all. Mm-hmm. I have been a fixer-upper before where I was not in a good place for dating, and that was the time to work on me.
Yes.
And that's exactly what I needed.
Yeah.
And I actually did date during some of those times, and they didn't go so great.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Well, after I had had a long-term relationship with the guy who, you know, van boy who lives in a van by the
we
water.
We wouldn't have an episode without mentioning him.
No, he has to be brought up on every episode. I did try to date, and I dated a couple of people, and all I found is that I was transferring all of my wounded feelings from that relationship onto these new people I was dating, and I was so hurt all the time. And it was just, it was not good. So I then took 2 years off just to kind of work on myself and, you know, get some hypnotherapy, get some life coaching and really focus on myself so that I was in a better place for dating.
Yes. And like Peggy said, you know, when you are in that really raw emotional place where if somebody just asks you about your past relationship, you start crying. It's not it's not a good time.
Right. The mouth starts quivering.
Yeah.
Yes. The fifth pattern that you've noticed, Laura, is that there's that someone should take a break is the seeking approval and or validation.
Yes. So I think that this shows up in I don't like myself or I'm uncomfortable with myself. So I want somebody as a Band-Aid. I want somebody to you know, approve of me, validate me, make me feel good. So we all want to find a great partner and be in a relationship with somebody that adores us and that we can adore. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
As long as you can do that for yourself, too. If you can't do that for yourself and you're just feeling miserable and you're hoping somebody can step in and make you feel better, not just don't even bother. Just start working on yourself immediately.
Right. Because you want someone to be a compliment to you, not someone who is fixing you and completing you because you feel so empty and inside.
Yeah. And I had a client who was a very attractive woman. She was a little older. She was in her 60s and she had a marriage that had ended and she just could not fathom feeling happy without being in a relationship. Mm. And so she just was frantically dating as many people as she could. And they were they were negative experiences because she was so uncomfortable being by herself that she, you know, she wasn't, she was desperate. It was a desperate vibe. So she wasn't attracting really good, and she was scaring people away, frankly.
Well, I'm sure. She seems like she was encompassing all of these patterns.
Yes. Yeah. And when we would try to talk about, you know, why don't you focus on you and like work on loving you first, she just didn't want any part of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was she coachable?
No.
Yeah, not everybody is.
No, she wasn't in a and maybe she is right now, but she wasn't ready to hear that yet. She just really thought if the right person would show up, it would take away all of her pain that was for her to process herself.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
And you think about that. If you cannot stand your own presence, who would want to be around you?
Not a lot of people.
Yeah. So, you know, if that's how you're feeling, if you're looking for a person as a Band-Aid, you're not in a good place.
No.
And that's okay. Sometimes we're not in a good place for a relationship and it's okay to just focus on our own stuff for a while. And it doesn't have to be terrible. It can be kind of fun to be single.
It is. You know, you have just launched a new program
that
is really specializing in helping women with this. And it is The luxury of this is it's not just for Seattle women. It's for women all over the country. The program is called Richer Love.
Yes.
Laura Richer.
Yes.
Tell us about this program.
So this program, and so I developed this program because a lot of the work I do with clients, although I work in Seattle Healing on all sorts of topics, dating is something that comes up quite a bit in my practice. And I also had my own experience of going through dating for a period of time. And I learned a lot. In 5 years, I learned a lot.
Yes.
And I'm kind of a slow learner, but I kept kept track of all the everything that I learned. And I thought, you know what? Other people can learn this faster. So I developed a 12-week program to really help women get, and especially women who find themselves single at a point in their lives that they didn't expect to be. Maybe they're divorced, maybe their spouse passed away, or, you know, whatever it is, they were not expecting to date at this time. So maybe they haven't been out there for a while. Maybe they've never done online dating before. So it's kind of to help get them in a good place emotionally so they are ready to either do that, contact Peggy. And then the other thing, do I have time to talk about this?
Oh, yeah, we have about 2 minutes.
Okay. The other thing is when I was dating, I felt so lucky that I had my sasterhood.
Yes.
Which were my girlfriends who were also in the same position as me. And as and they were dating as well, and they were willing to give me some tough feedback when I needed it and say, you know what, actually it's you, not them. Or
did I ever say that? Maybe.
You probably did.
You said it to me too.
Yeah.
It really helps having single friends who are going through the same thing, because dating today is not what it was 5 years ago, and certainly not 30 years ago when my mom was dating.
Yeah. So it's, and advice that says, you know, oh, you know what? You're so beautiful and successful. You just intimidate him. It's just he didn't call you because he likes you too much. That's not helpful.
No, it is
more
not
honest.
Helpful. Exactly. So richer love will really help.
So we also have a group coaching component for other women who are dating so that they can connect with each other and support each other.
And so you're creating a sasterhood.
A sasterhood for them. So
they can learn more at richerlove.com.
Yes, our new website is up. Check it out.
Yes, and we only have a minute left. So to remind everyone how they can get in touch with you if they want to come to Seattle Healing, if they want to learn more about Richer Love, all of it.
So if you're interested in Richer Love, go to richerlove.com and you can shoot us an email from the site and we will do a complimentary consultation with you.
Yep.
Or if you want to get in touch with us at Seattle Healing, if you have other things you want to work on besides dating, we do all kinds of things there. And you can call us at 206-765-8265 to schedule your complimentary consultation.
And all of our archives of this show are on ontheverge.radio.com. You can find all of the information to get in touch with Laura. This has been a fantastic episode. Laura, I'd like to take the time now to wish you an early happy birthday tomorrow.
The big 4-2.
Yay! Have a wonderful
day.
Thank
you, Andy.
Yes, and thanks for tuning in to On the Verge Radio here on Transformation Talk Radio. And we'll check in with you next month.
You've been listening to On the Verge Radio, using your breakdown for a breakthrough with Coach Laura Richer. We all have that moment in life when we are on the verge of big change. This time of transition is a wild and unknown place. How will you show up? Embrace the positive, drop the negative, and you can experience total transformation. Schedule a breakthrough session with Laura at seattlehealinghypnosis.com. Laura will help you discover the path to creating rapid and positive changes. Tune in every month for On the Verge Radio with Laura Richer.